Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody, He loves you.
Astronomical.
And we're going to be looking at some information that a fellow by the name of William Davis, a medical doctor, has put in a book called Wheat Belly. The book is called Wheat Belly, W-H-E-A-T-B-E-L-L-Y. It was on the number one New York Times bestseller at one point. But it's a book that really gets you thinking about, you know, what has happened in the last 20 years as far as what we're eating and how it begins to affect us. One of the things why I came across this book is because over the last, I would say, 3 or 4 years, I have a lot of joint pain, in my hips, knees. When I would try to exercise, the pain would be many times very, almost unbearable. And it takes painkiller and anti-inflammatories to help. And, you know, I just started trying to look at what I was eating to see if there was a possible cause of something I was eating. Thought maybe I was gaining too much weight, or, you know, just trying to figure out why I was having these problems in my joints, particularly my hips and my knees. And it was something to look at as far as trying to determine what it was. And so, you know, through looking at my diet, I found myself trying to eat oatmeal and trying to eat wheat bread and whole wheat and multigrains and healthy grains. And I just came across it that when I would not eat the wheat or the wheat flour, that I wouldn't have the joint pain. I was able to move, and I was able to exercise, and I was able to do things that were normal. And then I said, well, let me just try to see if I can prove my theory that it was the wheat that was causing me the joint pain. And then I started back and eat a sandwich or some wheat bread or something. And immediately the joint pain would come back. So I did that a couple times just to make sure it wasn't in my head. And sure enough, it was the bread, the wheat flour, that was causing me the joint pain. So I did that the last, I would say, 2.5 months. Have gone without eating any of the bread or the flour, and looked up what would be the cause of it, and they come up with a gluten sensitivity. Wheat gluten sensitivity. So I said a wheat gluten sensitivity, anytime I ate anything that had wheat on it or wheat in it, would cause my joints to ache. And so I eliminated that and started feeling better, and then started losing weight from not eating it. And feeling better, I lost almost 22 pounds, you know, just by not eating products with wheat in it. So not only was I feeling better, but I was losing weight. And I was saying, wow, I was glad that God gave me the wisdom to be able to determine what was causing me joint pain. So now my knees don't hurt, my hips don't hurt. Even when I was laying down, I was having problems. But it was inflammation from a wheat sensitivity that was causing my joint pain. And so, you know, one of the things that people say when you have wheat sensitivity that you have an indication of celiac disease, but there's no indication of celiac disease as far as my health, but it's a sensitivity to wheat. And what I was able to do is eliminate those things and find tremendous health and find lack of pain and tremendous relief from joint pain. And so just wanted to share that with our listeners tonight, that if you are experiencing any type of joint pain, any type of side effects from, you know, knees or arthritis, look hard at your diet and see if you can try to eliminate wheat from your diet and see if that brings you any relief. Now, it's not an easy thing to do because when I started eliminating wheat from my diet, I found that a lot of times there's a lot of things out here in our grocery stores that we eat, we don't even recognize they have wheat in it. And also, it's in toothpaste sometimes, and lip balm sometimes, and shampoos, conditioners. Just recently, I was getting some grilled chicken from the Safeway for my lunch. And, you know, didn't pay any attention, got back to, you know, where I was going to eat lunch, and just read the package at the work, and it was a Southwest chicken. It's like a spicy chicken, but I guess the spice that they had added to the chicken had wheat in it, so that was one of the ingredients in it, and so I couldn't eat it. But through that, you know, I was just, you know, looking over the internet to try to find some resources for wheat-free or gluten-free menus, cookbooks, and things to try to, you know, come up with some ideas, some alternative cooking things, since I can no longer eat fried chicken and fried shrimp and pancakes and cookies and all those different things that have wheat in it, to try to find a menu or a cookbook to have some things that I could eat. And so I stumbled along this book and this diet for wheat belly. And when I began to start reading it, it began to start telling me and giving me the information on why the wheat was irritating me, why it was causing inflammation in my joints. And it really began to start opening my eyes to what was happening. But not only did it open my eyes to the joint pain, but it also opened my eyes to the obesity epidemic and the not only the obesity epidemic, but the epidemic of diabetes that has skyrocketed in the United States over the past 23 years. And one of the things that this fellow, named William Davis, medical doctor, said is that the wheat grain that is used to manufacture or to make all of the breads, the cakes, the pudding, everything, the gravies and everything, is has been hybridized. I'm sorry, I'm going to mess up on that. Hybridized. In other words, it has taken on different forms. And what happened is that the wheat that has been identified from the beginning of time, they called it an einkorn wheat, has been changed from the einkorn to what he called during Moses' time, a omer, not a corn, but a wheat, to an omer wheat, to what we have today, which is a wheat that has been altered and hybridized to be able to survive in the most harshest areas under the most harshest conditions around the world. And so what happened is there was scientists who have changed the makeup of the seed, the wheat seed, the wheat grain, and because of that, it has been able to be produced in harsh areas as long as pesticides, chemicals, and things are used to make sure that it has a life cycle. And now what they're doing is they're producing it like twice as much as the normal or the former wheat grain was. And the reason why they can do that is because of this hybridization, easy for me to say, the hybridization of the wheat molecule or the wheat grain. And what this Dr. William Davis is saying is that the way our body is made up, that we cannot handle this form of hybridized wheat. The wheat was changed from where it would grow 4 feet tall and sometimes be susceptible to drought in different conditions to now where it's has been hybridized to only grow 2 feet tall and stand up to the most stringent conditions. And basically this was done because of global hunger and the need to feed people around the world. But in the scientific effort to hybridize, wheat will be able to be sustained globally. What has happened is they didn't go through any testing on humans to see what type of effect that it would have on the human system prior to letting it get into the human food chain. And studies have been documented by this doctor that since that hybridization of that particular wheat, he calls it Franken wheat, the instances of obesity and diabetes have grown exponentially. And it's interesting to, you know, look at the charts that he's referenced and look at the information that he's referenced to give this. But he takes a study from the Centers for Disease and Prevention that was looked at in a percentage of U.S. adults with diabetes from 1980 to 2009. And it says the late 1980s marked a sharp upward trend with the most dramatic spikes in 2009 and 2010, that people went from 22% to 39% of U.S. adults have diabetes in that period of time. And it's really crazy that it tracks with that. And back in the 1980s, it was around 5% of all U.S. adults. And now in 2010, it's almost 24% of all U.S. adults. And so there's a huge increase just in that 20%, and that's when that wheat was introduced into the human food chain without the testing of the effects that it would have on the human body, all in an effort for feeding folks globally. And then if you look at the percentage of people from the 80s to 2008 that have gotten obese, it's gone from 12% of the country or the U.S. population to now almost 35% of the population is considered to be obese. And, you know, I did my little trial on what you know, was hurting me before I even read this book or even got to know anything of what the doctor was saying. And I found that my joint pain went away when I stopped eating wheat and wheat gluten food. And I lost almost 25 pounds in that short period of time from not eating those wheat gluten or anything that has wheat in it. And when you look at it for yourself and try it for yourself, then it begins to become reality. And so as I began to read the book, what it was saying is that the glycemic index of wheat is greater than the glycemic index of sugar, table sugar. So what it is saying to us is that the more wheat we eat, the more blood sugar spikes, the more our pancreas has to produce insulin. And once our pancreas produces insulin to deal with the sugar, to be able to push the sugar through the muscle. And when you continue to go with the spike of pancreatic insulin producing up, down, what happens is the pancreas ability to keep up with the insulin production breaks down. And then you have the incidents where the body is no longer producing enough insulin to push the sugar into the muscles, and then that's where you end up with people having diabetes, where they have to get insulin from another source. And, you know, that to me, along those guidelines of tracking when it was introduced and from the time it was introduced, the curve of the incidence of obesity and diabetes is remarkable. And to see that so many people know people that have diabetes in their family, they have all kind of health issues in their family, obesity. And a lot of times people are not trying to overeat. People are not trying to, you know, do crazy stuff with their diet. But it seems like everyone is losing the battle of the bowls. And the doctor says that this new hybridized form of wheat has the same type of ability that the product of nicotine has to be able to get to the brain, the part of the brain that can pick up addiction, whereas morphine will get to that part of the brain where people will be addicted to morphine. This type of brain has the ability to create endorphins that get to that part of the brain also, where people will have a desire more and more to eat products that have wheat gluten in it, because it creates that type of high similar to the high you would get from crack cocaine or morphine. And so that's why the human population, now that this food has been introduced into the human food chain, is almost obsessed with everything that has wheat in it. And you'd be surprised how many things they have wheat or wheat gluten in them. And the reason why we can't get off of it is because it's addicting. It's almost sad that during the tobacco boom that nicotine was known to have addicting qualities, and even though we just deny, and now people know how terrible it is for the human body, and many people have stopped smoking, and the incidence of the disease and the cancers and effects from nicotine and smoking were devastating to the population. So now a lot of the population has stopped smoking bans for children, age limits, advertising on cigarettes. All of those things have been put in place, but it's going to take something along that similar manner for people to understand what this hybridized wheat grain has done as far as increasing obesity, as far as increasing the incidence of diabetes has done to our population. But it doesn't seem like the word has gotten out very, very well, because our USDA, which makes guidelines for our nutritional diet, as well as the ADA, as far as diabetes diet, they have brought into the notion that we should have low fats in our diet, high instances of healthy whole grains, which majority of it is wheat products. And those wheat products spike our blood sugar, which causes our pancreas to produce more insulin to where the point where you get fatigued, and then they no longer keep up with the incidence of sugar spikes in our nutrition, and then become dormant or unable to produce enough insulin, and so the disease diabetes onsets, and we become dependent on insulin, become obese, and then all the other side effects from diabetes, as far as blindness, as far as joints, as far as the various things that happen when you're diabetic, kidney failure, poor circulation to your extremities, amputations, all of those things begin to happen because of the inability of the body to be able to regulate and produce insulin in response to sugar that pushes the nutrients or whatever into your muscles. And when you look at this thing, and when you read the book, again, it's called Wheat Belly by William Davis, who's a medical doctor. When you begin to read this, he writes like a medical doctor, so some of the terms, you have to sit down with your little electronic dictionary and look up some of the terms. But when he begins to explain it, it begins to make sense that these spikes in our system are wearing our pancreas out, and it's largely part due to the what is recommended of having a diet full of healthy whole grains, quote unquote healthy whole grains. But these healthy whole grains are wearing us out. And then he goes into one of the diseases that many people that will say is part of, you know, this wheat gluten allergy, and that is celiac disease. And what celiac disease is the disease of the intestine as far as absorption through the intestine that allows the formation of the small intestine to allow wheat to pass through into the bloodstream. And what it wreaks havoc on the human body, and severe cramping, severe nausea, to the point where people are incapacitated until they have to be put on gluten-free, totally gluten-free diets, so that their small intestines can heal up, and anything can trigger it. And wheat, like I said, it can be found in so many different things now, because it was like the golden girl or the golden boy, that's something that's going to give us healthy whole grains. But people that are suffering celiac disease couldn't eat it. So what we're saying is, people, even if you don't have celiac disease, the effects of this wheat or this frankincorn, as Dr. Davis describes it, is making people ill, making people sick, by spiking their blood sugar, by causing them to produce sugar that the pancreas, insulin can't handle. And so what that does is that begins to store in your stomach, call it the visceral fat, underneath the muscle of the stomach, pushing up against the organs. And what that does is that produces different types of chemical responses that are negative, that causes chemicals to attack the spaces in between your knees or your bones, and causes pain. And so as people have more and more visceral fat, what happens is their health begins to deteriorate, because that fat begins to produce negative chemicals in our body, which sets us up for all kinds of diseases. And so went through, and he's, I guess, he's made his hypotheses, his thesis, and backed it up with some interesting Surgeon General and Centers for Disease information in different studies. But again, the only research that I have is what I've tried for myself, and that was before I even, you know, came across this book called Wheat Belly, and that my joint pain has been relieved by the elimination of wheat out of my diet, and also the wheat of almost 25 pounds have been because of the elimination of wheat in my diet. And it is amazing to see, in just that short period of time, just informing myself how it has changed my life. And that's why I'm sharing that with everyone tonight. If you have any type of arthritis, any type of diabetes, if you have any type, it says it works as far as with the brain's response. So for dementia, ADHD, many, many diseases can be link back to some of these intakes of wheat that spikes the blood sugar, that creates a wheat belly or visceral fat around the midsection, that produces harmful chemicals in the body, that causes just a whole slew of diseases. And he studied thousands of patients and recommended wheat-free diets, and thousands of patients with various diseases that he's had have been relieved of their diseases and their instances of pain, and some of them have become less and less in people's lives. And so, you know, try it for yourself. You know, I just want to be a resource for people in the United States or around the world to try it for yourself. And like I said, you know, before I even read this book or knew about this book, I was trying it, and it has made a difference in my life. And so, again, you don't have to have celiac disease, but these wheat that we're eating now is different from the wheat from biblical days, even in the days of Moses, leading up to when our forefathers in the United States planted this grain, and it was 4 feet tall, and was sung about in our Star Spangled Banner as amber waves of grain, of the plenteousness of the wheat grain. But in order, in an effort to create a grain, wheat grain, that would be able to sustain a global demand for food supply, a human food source, hastily went ahead and hybridized the grain to the point where now it's no longer the 4 foot grain that's susceptible to disease and things, but now it's 2 foot grain that will only survive if pesticides and human intervention is applied. And that particular grain, spaced out over 20 some years, has been parallel with the increased incidences of diabetes in the United States and obesity in the United States. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back. But we want you to stay online, and if you want to be a part of this conversation, we invite you to dial 347-324-5569. It's 347-324-5569. We're going to take a break and be right back.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And he loves you.
Thanking you all for continuing to look into our station, and we are grateful for everyone who continues to support us here at Pastors Aid CDC. And just talking about a phenomenon that can happen in my life as far as with my joints aching, as far as my knees and my hips, and going through the cycle of trying to exercise, get healthy. It seems like the more I would try to exercise, the more my knees were hurt, my hips were hurt, the more weight I would gain. Trying to eat a diet recommended by the USDA physicians, primary care physicians, cut out a lot of the meats, saturated fat from animals and anywhere else, and eat more fruits and vegetables and healthy whole grains. And the thing that I had issue with, or should I say my body had issue with, is that the healthy whole grains, which were primarily wheat-based products, a lot of the processed products as far as wheat bread, a lot of the things that are made that are, you know, crackers, cereal, those type of things, those things, when I would eat them, would cause my joints to ache. And, you know, just through a process of elimination, I came across that if I eliminated those things, then my joints would ache, so I could do more exercises and lose weight. And it was just something that, like I said, God blessed me with the wisdom to be able to do, be able to understand. And just through that wisdom and understanding, I have found the fountain of youth where I feel great. And, you know, it's just amazing just changing your diet, what it can do. And that's when I ran across this book by Dr. William Davis, entitled the book is Wheat Belly, W-H-E-A-T-B-E-L-L-Y, Wheat Belly. And he's a doctor, and he explains it better than I can explain it. It's a great phenomenon that there is a relief for a myriad of the diseases that this this type of wheat that has been hybridized or changed is wreaking havoc on the human race. And, you know, a lot of times people say, yeah, you know, what is he talking about? But I'm just telling you what I found out prior to reading the book to find out that it's true. And so now that it's a doctor that can explain it better than I can explain it, I'm asking people, if you really want to understand it, to, you know, go purchase the book, read the book, but most of all, try those diet changes and see what begins to happen in your life. See what begins to take place in your life. Understand what's happening in your physical body, and really begin to start applying some of these things to your life. And, you know, prayerfully, just like me, you'll experience a change in your life, in your health, and it will be so much better and so much more healthier. And it's kind of crazy that the USDA would endorse a heart healthy ingredient like wheat without really, you know, taking this testing on human consumption into play in an effort for people to try to, you know, come up with something that would help global world hunger. But in that effort, the studies didn't take place to see that the human body couldn't sustain this and it couldn't handle. So let's look at what he's talking about as far as the GI or glycemic index. And what that is glucose measurement in your blood. And I'll be reading from page 63 from the book. And high blood pressure, folks, visceral fat accumulations in the body means a storage of storing energy. And it says when visceral fat accumulates, the flood of inflammatory signals it produces causes tissues such as muscle and liver to respond less to insulin. This so-called insulin resistance means that the pancreas must produce greater and greater quantities of insulin to metabolize the sugars. Eventually, a vicious cycle of increased insulin resistance, increased insulin production, increased deposits of visceral fat, increased insulin resistance ensues. And so it's a vicious cycle of working the pancreas, developing visceral fat. All of these things is just like this vicious cycle that our body produces these negative responses. And continues on and says, nutritionists establish the fact that wheat increases blood sugar more profoundly than table sugar 36 years ago. Says, as we discussed, the glycemic index, or GI, is the nutritionist measure of how much blood sugar levels increase in the 90 to 120 minutes after a food is consumed. It goes on to say, by this measure, whole wheat bread has a glycemic index, or GI, of 72, while plain table sugar has a GI of 59. And some people say as high as 65. And, you know, it's crazy, but, you know, these are the facts. And, you know, the facts are really starting to, you know, point that this particular hybridized wheat is really changed the makeup of the wheat that has caused us to have problems with our health, not only just with celiac disease, but with various types of diabetes, inflammatory effects on your joints, dementia. All of these things are triggered because of the negative effects that this wheat gluten is having on our physical bodies. And so I'm asking everyone, please, ma'am, please, sir, if you can, you can download it online, the Wheat Belly book by William Davis, or you can pick it up. I got mine at Barnes & Noble, and you can pick it up at Barnes & Noble bookstore. And the prices range from, I believe it's like $11 to I think I paid like $20 for mine. But, you know, what is life without health? If your quality of life is not good, you're living, but you're not living a quality of life. And so, you know, if you're suffering from diabetes, if you're suffering from joint pain, if you decide to suffering from being overweight or obese, if you decide suffering from acid reflux, if you decide suffering from any of those things where you have to take medications or it's causing discomfort in your life, I would, you know, share with you that this is a resource that you can get connected with, that you could try yourself for the small investment of reading it for $11 to $25 or how much ever it's going to cost you. But try it. If you're having the pain and you're still having the pain, it's worth trying it. To me, I was doing it before I came up and read the book, and I'm telling people how great I felt. But then when I stumbled across the book, it really began to explain what was going on, and it is crazy to see how much this has affected me and how much it has affected other people. All right, I'm going to read a story, and in the book, your stories or like testimonies about people who stopped consuming wheat and how it has affected their diseases that they had. This is on page 108 of the book, and it's called Goodbye to Wheat, Goodbye to Diabetes. Goodbye to Wheat, Goodbye to Diabetes. Begins Maureen, a 63-year-old mother of three grown children and grandmother to five, came to my office for an opinion regarding her heart disease prevention program. She had undergone two heart catheterizations and receiving three stents in the past 2 years despite taking a cholesterol-reducing statin drug. Maureen's laboratory evaluation included lipotrim analysis that in addition to low HDL cholesterol of 39 and high triglycerides of 233, uncovered an excessive amount of LDL particles. 85% of all Maureen's LDL particles were classified as small, a severe abnormality. And it goes on to say that Maureen also had been diagnosed with diabetes 2 years earlier, first identified during one of the hospitalizations. She received counseling and restrictions on both Heart Healthy Diet and American Heart Association and the American Diabetes Association diet. Her first introduction to diabetes medication was metformin. However, after a few months, she required the addition of one, then another medication. This most recent drug, a twice-a-day injection, to keep her blood sugars in the desired range. Goes on to say, recently Maureen's doctor had started talking about the possibility of insulin injections because the small LDL pattern along with the low HDL and high triglycerides are closely linked to diabetes. I counseled Maureen on how to apply diet to correct the entire spectrum of abnormality. The cornerstone of the diet, wheat elimination. Because of the severity of her LDL pattern and diabetes, I also asked her to further restrict other carbohydrates, especially cornstarch and sugars, as well as oats, beans, rice, and potatoes. This severe restriction is not necessary in most people. That's what Dr. Davis is saying. He said, within the first 3 months of starting her diet, Maureen lost 28 pounds off her starting weight of 247. This early weight loss allowed her to stop the twice-daily injection. 3 more months and 16 more pounds gone, and Maureen cut her medication down to the initial metformin. After a year, Maureen had lost a total of 51 pounds, tipping the scale below 200 for the first time in 20 years. Because Maureen's blood glucose values were consistently below 100 milligrams per DL, and then asked her to stop the metformin. She maintained the diet, followed the continued gradual weight loss. She maintained blood glucose values comfortably in the non-diabetic range. 1 year, 51 pounds lost, and Maureen said goodbye to diabetes, provided she doesn't return to her old ways, including plenty of healthy whole grains. That was what was wearing her system out. She is essentially cured. Now, you know, everybody's going to be different. All things happen different people. But, you know, what I'm telling people is, you know, give it a try. What do you have to lose? You can lose the weight. You can lose the symptoms of disease. And, you know, of all the things that are attached to the CDC that we're trying to get folks connected with, I think this is one of the biggies. Because so many people suffer from being obese. So many people suffer from diabetes and all kinds of diseases, rheumatoid arthritis, acid reflux, kidney disease, you know, dementia. All these things because of what we're putting in our body. And one of the common denominators is this hybridized wheat grain that has been allowed to get into our human food chain and has not had the proper USDA scrutiny. And over the past 20 years, look around. Look at the obesity epidemic that has happened to our country. The size of people, the incidence of diabetes and disease have gone up, skyrocketed up, and it parallels with this different type of wheat. that has been placed in our society that, you know, we put it in gravy, you put it in processed food, you know, it's all the powder or the flour on the gum that we eat, you know, hair shampoo, lip gloss, you name it, it's in there. And the more and more, you know, people use it, the more money the grain institutions made. And, you know, it's something that we really need to think about, something we really need to try, something that can change your life. I know it's changed my life. And, you know, that's why, you know, we'll bring it, you know, out to us here at Pastors ACDC to talk to our listeners and say, hey, if you're suffering from any type of these things, you know, try it. It worked for me, Mike, and I believe it will work for you. And again, the name of the book is Wheat Belly, W-H-E-A-T-B-E-L-L-Y. And the author is William Davis. He's a medical doctor. And he says, lose the weight, lose the wheat, and find your path back to health. And I have found it. I have found it, and, you know, I'm thankful to God that even before this book was came across my radar, that I was doing the things that it said to do, and I've experienced that that blessing of greater health and loss of weight. And you know, when you find stuff like this, you know, it's you have to share it, and you have to share it with as many people as you can, because like I said, every one of us knows somebody that's obese. Every one of us knows somebody has diabetes. Everyone knows someone who has arthritis or joint pain. Every one of us knows someone who has acid reflux. And, you know, if you're in this addictive mode with wheat and you can't lose weight, or if you do get in a position where you want to exercise and now your joints are aching because what you're eating is supposed to be healthy whole grains is making you hurt, so you can't sustain exercise. And so it's this vicious cycle of gaining weight, unable to take it off. The pancreas begins to work overtime, producing insulin. The visceral fat begins to collect around your midsection, which produces also harmful chemicals in the body, reactions in the body. It's like a vicious cycle, because this grain has been allowed to get into a place that causes addiction in our brain. And so we really can't help but need it, sort of like nicotine was to cigarette smokers, where they can't stop. People want to stop smoking, but they can't stop because of the way the nicotine affects a part of the brain that produces endorphins. And a similar manner, this is the way this wheat does. This wheat that has been hybridized and changed for global production has been changed, and so it's allowed to get into a chemical in our body that gets to the place in the brain where addictions are formed. And so that's why we can't stop. That's why we have to eat these foods with this type of thing in it. That's why we continue to go back time and time again. That's why we continue to eat them over and over again, because we're addicted to them, and it's making us sick, it's making us fat. It's causing all kinds of diseases, and just track back to those 20 years and see what has happened. The facts are there. The Centers for Disease Control, the obesity rate, you know, in our country. You go down every aisle and look at and all the products on the interior of the grocery store, usually the dairy products and the meat or poultry products are on the perimeter, but all of the food, cereals, the all of these things, crackers and snack foods and everything that's out there has this common ingredient, and it's wreaking havoc on it. So please, ma'am, please, sir, take this connection, get this resource, learn about it. Like I said, it's written by a medical doctor. Some of the stuff you're going to have to I always sit down with a book, with a dictionary to figure out or learn what some of the terms are, but it's not that hard of a read. But if you read it and you begin to implementing these things into your life, it'll make a difference in your life. And that's what I want. I want people to have a quality of life. That's our desire here at Pastors Aid CDC, that people will begin to experience wellness by getting connected with resources that will help them to experience wellness in their life. And, you know, like I said, take it from me. It's been a big difference in my life. I'm sure it'll be a big difference in your life. And if you want to tweet us, you can tweet us the line of how it's helped you at PACDC316 or on Facebook at Pastors A P A S T O R S A I D. And always, if you want to call in anytime at 347-324-5569 and talk to us on a Sunday or a Friday. Let us know, you know, the changes in your life. You know, it's the beginning of the year. Make some changes. Make some positive things happen in your life. Realize that this can make a difference in your life. If you can imagine losing 30 pounds with no pain, none of the symptoms of disease are going away, it will be an awesome 2013. You'll be able to say it is a new me in 2013. And, you know, when you begin to do that after 6 months of having this relief, it'll change your life completely. It'll change your life completely. So that's what we're looking for, for people to have those testimonies. So tweet us, get us on Facebook, call in. Let us know how it's made a difference in your life. Again, the name of the book is Wheat Belly, W-E-A-T-B-E-L-L-Y. And the author is William Davis. He says, lose the wheat, lose the weight, and find your path back to health. Again, I was doing this because God had given me the wisdom to be able to figure it out in my body. Losing the wheat and help my joint pain, help the weight loss. Just came across the book trying to find some gluten-free things to eat or recipes, and began to reading this book, and it began to give me the scientific data of what I had already done research and came to a conclusion that it was causing me joint pain, which wouldn't allow me to exercise. And now I can do exercise and go up and down the steps and all kinds of things without my joint hurting. It is amazing. And then just to be able to find the book that explains it is just, you know, the topper, but that's the way God is. And, you know, let us know. I'm interested to see, you know, if you do it, if you try it, where has it made a difference in your life. So please, ma'am, please, sir, give us a call. Hit us on Facebook or Twitter. Let us know, you know, how big of a difference it made. You know, it's initial, you have some withdrawals from, you know, the stuff that you normally eat. Because it has so much meat in it. But when you begin to start doing it, those become less and less. And because they become less and less, your addiction in, you know, the first week or so is that every day you'll eat less than almost 480 calories a day because you won't have that desire for those wheat things anymore. And so just by that, you'll begin to start losing weight. You'll begin to see the weight drop off, which will help your joints, which will help many things in your health, and you'll be amazed. So I'm excited. I'm in anticipation of people calling or contacting us, seeing how it has benefited them. Talk to my kids and my wife, and they are on board with it, and they want to live healthy lives also. A little tough on the kids because, you know, they like all those things with the bread and the cereals and the subs. One of the toughest things for me was the fried chicken. Oh, yeah, I love fried chicken. But now I eat the rotisserie chicken or baked chicken that has not been breaded with flour. And don't miss it now anymore. When I first started, you know, first couple of weeks it was tough. But going and walking and being able to be joint pain-free, no chicken in the world that I would replace for that great film. And I'm sure as you begin to start getting this relief from the various symptoms that you have, that you won't want to go back. And so, you know, that's our resource tonight. And we thank you for listening. So now that you have the resource, we want you to get connected. God bless you. Good night. And we'll talk to you again on Thursday night. Good night.